history is just a fairy tale. The Templar Cross, the St. George's Cross of England. Now I'm just going to, the next 15 minutes, whip through some of the symbols that you see all around you and indicate what they kind of mean. Throughout this period of time, from the ancient world to now, the same symbols keep reoccurring in the Illuminati secret language. This is one of them, the skull and bones. It was used by the Templars, and they used to fly it on their ships. This is where the kind of thing about pirate ships and skull and bones came from. And there was a bloodline family, one of the major bloodline families in America, called the Russell family, who used to fly the skull and bones on their ships when they were running drugs for the British to the Chinese during the Opium Wars. And this same Russell family, with that symbol, created one of the most notorious secret societies in America, appropriately called the Skull and Bones Society. It's at Yale University. And the most famous members of the Skull and Bones Society today are George Bush and George W. Bush. It takes bloodline students, 15 every year, and those students then, in a massive ratio compared with the general population, go on to enter the positions of power in America. This is the way it kind of works. These people in power are led in there by bloodline, not by any other means. Now, not only is the pyramid a massive Illuminati symbol in the secret language, they also use these pyramids literally to manipulate energy fields in cities and in other places, because the pyramid draws energy in and focuses it. And this pyramid, this big black glass pyramid, was built a few years ago during the reign of the 33rd degree Freemason president of France, François Mitterrand, right next to the beautiful Louvre Museum. And people with any eye for beauty were absolutely stunned. What the hell is going on? What are you putting that bloody thing there for? And if you don't realize why it's there, it's a mystery. Here's Margaret Thatcher here. She was there, big ritual opening to the bloody thing. The reason they put that there will become clear in a second. The pyramid is also, however, part of the secret language. And this is an ancient Illuminati symbol, which you'll find on every dollar bill. Massive esoteric symbolism, and that's the capstone eye, the pyramid with the capstone missing, the eye of Horus, the eye of the force, the watchers who manipulate the pyramid. That was put on the dollar bill in 1933 by one of the great front men of the Illuminati in the 20th century, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was president during the World War, in which the other bloodline guy, Winston Churchill, was prime minister in Britain. This is Dealey Plaza, a pyramid with a capstone missing in the street plan. And if someone showed me this and say, look, Kennedy was killed here, so look, see, and I'd not done any other research, I might well say, well, hold on, darling, there are such things as coincidences. Don't let's get carried away here, mate. Except that when you do the research, the obsession with ritual and symbolism is such that this is no accident. This is a railway bridge which cuts off this pyramid to be a pyramid with a capstone missing, just like the Great Pyramid at Giza has its capstone missing. And what are they going to do at the millennium? They're going to put a golden capstone on top of the Great Pyramid, and guess who's on the guest list? George Bush. This was the scene of the first Freemasonic temple in Dallas, and they put the Freemasonic temples on the big vortex points because they understand the Earth's energy grid and how energy can be manipulated if you get hold of the big vortexes. That's why they put Stonehenge where they did, that's why they put the pyramids where they did, etc., and that's why they put Freemasonic temples and other Illuminati buildings. I'll come back to the Kennedy assassination in a minute. But before that, this is the key Illuminati symbol. It's the flame or the lighted torch which says the illuminated ones, the Illuminati, illuminated into knowledge the rest of the population do not get. And this symbolism comes from a recurring story in the ancient world of a hero, given different names, who took fire knowledge from the gods and gave it to people, these bloodlines in this case. This is the most famous of these heroes, called Prometheus, a Greek legendary figure who was supposed to have been connected, funnily enough, to the Caucasus Mountains, which comes up in my research all the time. Now, this gold statue of Prometheus was put up in Rockefeller Center in New York by the Rockefeller family, and there's a plaque there to that effect. And to the Rockefellers, one of the bloodline branch managers of America, this would have massive symbolic significance, because of course they know the story. So the lighted torch became the key Illuminati symbol, and that's what that is. The Statue of Liberty, this is the exact replica in Las Vegas, that's why you see the fairground, right? But it's an exact replica. That is the Illuminati. There's the rays coming out of the head, which you find again and again going through the ancient stories and such. And people who studied Babylonian history tell me that is a nice package of Queen Semiramis. A lot of people don't realize that the Statue of Liberty was given to New York by French Freemasons from Paris. Therefore, it had all the symbolism of the Illuminati. And this is where you get this flip between reality and what we think is reality. You ask American people for a symbol of freedom, and they will say, the Statue of Liberty. Freedom, land of the free. What is it really saying? We're running the show, we're telling you, and you can't even see it, can you? What a laugh. And it's in our face. But if we don't know the language, we can't see it. And a lot of people don't know this either, that in Paris, where this came from, is a virtual mirror replica on an island in the Seine, just down the road from where Diana was ritually sacrificed. When they killed Kennedy in the pyramid with a capstone missing, there's the grassy knoll when it all unfolded, the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry put up an obelisk, another major symbol of the Illuminati, going back to the ancient world, the phallic symbol, the male energy. And on the top of it, they put the lighted torch. We killed him, we're telling you, but you can't see it, can you? And what did they put on Kennedy's grave from that day to this? The lighted torch, the eternal flame. We killed him, we're telling you, but you can't see it, can you? And what's the focus in Paris, where people take their tributes to Diana on top of the Pont d'Alma tunnel, the ritual sacrifice center of the Merovingians? An exact and massive replica of the torch held by the Statue of Liberty, and it's standing on a black pentagram, and you can't get more symbolic than that in terms of Satanism. On the island at Althorpe Park, where Diana is supposed to be buried, lighted torch. And this symbolism, I indicated earlier, goes into the street plans of the major cities, London, Paris, Washington, New York. And it's not just, you know, let's have a laugh. They know from this level of knowledge that if you can create flows of energy with streets, you can put key buildings with key shapes in different geometrical relationships to each other, you can resonate the entire energy field of a city to the frequency range that you want people to live in and therefore be affected by. And I'll give you an example of this. This is that symbol I told you about earlier. This is the Arc de Triomphe with the 12 streets and the sun on the road and stuff. What we're going to do, we're going to have a journey from below there straight down the most famous thoroughfare in Paris, the Champs-Élysées, and we are not going to deviate a single inch as we walk in an exact straight line. We're going to start underneath there, looking in this direction, and there you find the lighted torch, the Illuminati. And we're going to walk straight in a line down there. The next thing we walk into is this, a 3,200-year-old original Egyptian obelisk taken from the Valley of the Kings at Luxor. And there's the golden tip, the penis of Osiris, the bloodline symbol of, among many other things. We're going to continue to walk symbolically straight the way through the middle of that, not deviating an inch, and this is the next thing we hit, a very much like marble arch. There's the obelisk there, right in the middle, and the arch is very much Freemasonic and secret society symbolism. And we're going to keep walking in this direction, not deviate an inch, and look what we hit next. The big black pyramid that no one could understand why anyone would put it up next to this beautiful Louvre Museum. Well, it wasn't actually there to look beautiful. It was there for the effect it has on the energy field. Which is why they use pyramidal structures at the top of big buildings. You look at some of the big buildings like Canary Wharf, it's just a colossal obelisk. There's a book called Talisman of the United States, a rare book, which shows how the street plan of the city of Washington, which was created by a French Freemason called Charles L'Enfant, you can still see things like L'Enfant Plaza in Washington, was created as a mass of esoteric symbolism and energy flows. He's identified here how the Star of David, there's the Congress building, is in that street plan. Of course, that's a Jewish symbol, except that it's not. It's another bloody myth, and this comes from Jewish historical sources. This is an ancient symbol that can be found all over the ancient world. It only became associated with Jewish people when the Rothschilds started using it, when that banking dynasty began. It's also identified here that these major buildings in Washington, you'll find this in London and everywhere else, like this is the Congress building, they are lined up with where the sun rises at the winter and summer solstice, just like some of the ancient places were, like Newgrange in Ireland, which was lined up in the same way. Now, I'm going to come back to the street plan of Washington in a second, because I found something in there that was just so amazing and a wonderful example of the lengths to which this goes. First, some history or some background. What you're looking at here is 75 miles north of San Francisco, and in research into the ritual sacrifice ceremonies and blood drinking of the elite bloodlines, this is notorious. It's called Bohemian Grove. I took these pictures myself. This is as near as I got. This is No Through Road. You go up there and you come to Bohemian Grove. Every summer in July, the elite get together, the media owners, the presidents, past, present, and future, the owners of the business and the banking system, and they have a summer camp to let the cares of the world drop from their shoulders. God, I'm going teary-eyed thinking about it. What actually happens, as people who've been there and seen it have said, they get involved in the sacrifice and the ritual and the torture and all this other crap that they get involved in. And this is a picture taken at Bohemian Grove in 1957. This guy is Glenn Seaborg, who developed plutonium, making a speech. 1957, remember. Here is Uncle Ron, then just a B-movie actor getting on and off his horse. Over here is a career politician who is 3 years from taking on JFK at the 1960 election, Tricky Dicky Nixon. 1957, B-movie actor, career politician, Bohemian Grove, both go on to be president of the United States. And if anyone had suggested that he would be president in 1957, they would have laughed in your face. But what he is, or what he knows, is not so much as what his genetic structure is. And same with him. Now here's another picture taken at Bohemian Grove on a long lens during one of these summer camps in their opening ritual. These, you can see it better in the original, it doesn't come over great on the computer, but these are the elite wearing long robes with the hoods on. Here's the fire, and this is a 40-foot stone owl. Excuse me, did I come in late here or what? What are these elite people doing a ceremony for in front of a 40-foot stone owl? To understand, we have to go back again. In the ancient Near and Middle East, the time of the Phoenicians, the Carthaginians, the Babylonians, They used to sacrifice children to a deity called Moloch or Molech. You will see in the Old Testament people being condemned for putting their children through the fire to Moloch. When I've, and I have in the last few years, done a massive study of Satanism and research into Satanism, because stunning as it may be, to understand the satanic ritual and the satanic network and channels is to understand how and who is controlling this planet. When I talk to people who've been into satanic rituals and come out, most of them don't, of course, and to therapists working with the victims of these rituals, trying to give them their mind back, they tell me again and again that when they are sacrificing children today, they do it to a deity summoned called Moloch or Molech. Which begs the question, how do they symbolize Moloch or Molech as an owl? Which is interesting, because look what I found in the street plan of Washington. All I've done is draw a line around the streets within the Congress complex, and it is a quite obvious owl with the Congress building in its belly. How appropriate. Now, this next one I've done nothing to. It's just a picture from any Washington Street directory you can buy any day of the week. There's the owl, and it's standing on a pyramid. The pyramid, an all-seeing owl. This is the level to which they put this stuff in our face, which we cannot see unless we open our eyes and start to read the language. The pentagram, there's nothing negative about a pentagram, but what they do, as I say, is they turn it upside down to indicate the negative. That's the satanic symbol, the upturned pentagram. And they also distort esoteric symbols, so they lose their balance and shape, and that's also a way of indicating the negative. This is the Capitol building. This is the White House. And, of course, within the center of a pentagram, you have a pentagon, which is why the American military is based at the Pentagon. Everything is symbolism and ritual. Now, if you go up through from the White House here, through the middle of that upturned pentagram to about here, you find a very strange building in Washington. This is it. It has all the feel of an Egyptian temple. There's the kind of symbolic depictions of the Sphinx. And behind those pillars is our old friend, the sun coming up over the horizon, Horus, the son of God of Egypt. Here's another closer view of it. So what the hell is this building? In the middle of Washington. Very strange when you go past and see it. It turns out to be the Supreme Headquarters, 33rd degree Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Because Freemasonry, like I say, did not begin when they say it began. It's just another mask on a face that goes right back into the ancient world and has been manipulating this planet and its population all the way through. This is not a political building, it is a temple to a secret society. The reason it's called Capitol Hill is because when the Illuminati was centered in Rome during the Roman Empire, they had a place, a sacred place of ritual and worship called Capitoline Hill, and so they call this Capitol Hill. When Madeleine Albright, the Secretary of State in America, the high priestess of American politics, was given that job, her first overseas visit, included an official visit to her, a pilgrimage to Capitoline Hill outside Rome. And again, when you go through this stuff, you find that because the same force is working through all sides, creating the opposames that can be played off against each other, you find the same symbolism everywhere. This symbol, Eil Hitler, was actually part of a ritual in a secret society called the Order of the Golden Dawn. That's where they got it from. And this guy, if you look at it, I mean, this Nazi's won the friggin' lottery. Look, he's got the lot. Maltese cross, Knights of Malta, skull and bones, inverted Phoenician symbol, the swastika, and other people in the ancient world, and there the eagle, another ancient symbol going back to the Roman Empire and before, which the Illuminati have used, as well as the phoenix. There you have another symbol. This is supposed to be about liberty. That is the symbol from which we get the word fascism. It's another symbol you'll see the Illuminati use, because they're laughing at us. That symbol is called the fasci, came out of the Roman Empire, and it actually symbolizes magnificently the European Union, which is classic fascism. It comes from the fact that the fasci tied together rods very tightly. In other words, individualism of any kind, in the European Union's case, countries, and it rules them from the top with an axe head. This is where we get the term the Axis powers for the fascist countries in the Second World War. And that's an Illuminati symbol, and that is what the European Union is, classic fascism. Again, these are some of the sticks that the Queen holds in her ceremonies, sceptics or scepters or something, I don't know what they call it. And again, all this pomp and ceremony that we see in Westminster Abbey and all this royal pomp and ceremony, it's all Illuminati ritual going back to the ancient world. There you see the dove, Queen Semiramis, the Maltese cross and all this stuff. Everything that they do. And in the transnational corporations, you'll see the pyramid with the capstone missing, looked at from above, Atlantic Richfield Oil. The term being double-crossed, manipulated, comes from the cross of Lorraine, the cross of the House of Lorraine, the bloodline family extraordinaire, and you find that in Exxon. Again, you'll see it around the place. Amoco, the lighted torch. And there again, in Texaco, it's all esoteric symbols. You've got the T-square of Freemasonry, the five-pointed star, the pentagram, within the circle, and Bill Clinton's been there as well, as you can see. Which brings us here, and we're going to have a break now, and you'll be all delighted for that, and I'll rest my voice. It brings us into the world we live in today, across this millennium in the years that follow, when the cards and the agenda that this long, long story has been aiming for are designed to be played, and the world is designed to be what they've always wanted it to be, a centralized, a centrally controlled fascist global state with this structure at its heart. And people ask me, well, if these people, why didn't they just take the world over? Why didn't they just do it loads and loads of years ago? Because there's not many of these guys manipulating, and the only way that they could take the place over is to get the people on the planet to give it to them, and to get the people on the planet to police and control each other.
Thank you.